Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Proverbs chapter 9, I'll reread the first portion of it. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. You may be seated. Who doesn't like going out to the mailbox and finding a real piece of mail? I mean, after digging through the bills and the advertisements and the catalogs and the junk, there's something thrilling about receiving a letter from a friend, opening a card, finding a thinking of you note, or getting an invitation. An invitation. That's exactly what we have in today's portion of Proverbs chapter 9. Our invitation comes from wisdom, personified here as a woman. She invites us into her home. She asks us to enjoy her company and the feast she's prepared. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. But what or who is wisdom? How would you define wisdom? Is wisdom found in education? Well, maybe to some extent. And yet we're wary of education systems with their own agendas, and many of us have known very well-educated people who are deeply unwise. Is wisdom the result of experience? Experience sure doesn't hurt. And yet we pray that our young people, inexperienced as they are, would exercise wisdom now and not just later. And there are also many older and experienced people who aren't the least bit wise. In Proverbs, the word wisdom is a relationship term. It's important to know this. It's a relationship term. The wise person is one who understands his relationship with God and his relationship with others and acts accordingly. To be wise, on the one hand, you have to think not too highly of yourself. But on the other hand, you also have to think not too little of yourself. The wise person understands his or her place before God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So the very basic first thing about wisdom is this, that wisdom is this relationship in which we recognize God as our creator and ourselves as his creatures. We see how we are with respect to him as creator and to the rest of creation. And we understand as creatures that our existence depends on God and on his mercy. Even the birds of the heavens look to him for their food. We also, as we reflect on our relationship with God, confess that we've often turned away from the good that he gives, and we've chosen instead the good that we want. And yet there's even more to wisdom than this. Because wisdom isn't just an abstract concept or a theological virtue. Wisdom in the scriptures is ultimately a person, the very Son of God. The Son of God who was present with the Father before the creation of the world. Just prior to our text from Proverbs 9, wisdom speaks, and this is what wisdom says. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. I was beside him like a master workman, And I was daily the Father's delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. What do we hear in those words? We hear wisdom rejoicing with the Father over the creation, and we hear wisdom delighting in, showing his love for the whole creation. And so wisdom is none other than the Son of God. And think about the love that he had for his creation, not only in the beginning, when all of it was made, but his love for the creation that he showed when he chose to enter the womb of a virgin, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, to be crucified, dead, and buried, to descend into hell, and then to rise again and ascend to heaven. This journey from heaven to earth to hell and back again is the journey of the Son of God's love for you. He did this out of love for you and for his whole creation, that you might be redeemed by wisdom. And so our Lord Jesus Christ became for us the wisdom from God. So what is wisdom ultimately? But wisdom is this: Jesus Christ, and for us to know him and to trust what he has done for us and for our salvation, and then to live in the light that he provides. Today we hear about wisdom inviting us to a feast. You might remember a number of times in the Bible when God's kingdom is pictured as a meal or a banquet or a wedding celebration. When God's kingdom is Jesus sitting down at a table to eat with sinners. Of course, we can't help but think as well of this feast, the Holy Sacrament, where we have such a deep and close communion with our risen and ruling Lord. We could say here that this is wisdom's body, and this is wisdom's blood. And if you wish to walk in the ways of wisdom, then you need to feast here. We can think of other places in the scriptures as well. Feasting occurs when the prodigal son returns from his time of estrangement and running away. Do you remember what the father did when his lost son returned and confessed his unworthiness? He didn't make him wait outside and do penance. He didn't say that he'd meet him out behind the woodshed. No, he had a great feast prepared. They killed the fattened calf. They made merry. And so also for us, as we return to our forgiving God, and you have done it already today, Father, I've sinned. Father, I am not worthy. Father, for Jesus' sake and sacrifice, forgive me. And what does wisdom do? But invites you again to the banquet, a banquet of forgiveness, a banquet of grace, a banquet of love. Who is the feast for? I find this really interesting in Proverbs, because wisdom invites to her feast not those who are already wise and knowing, but rather wisdom invites those who are simple and those who lack sense. Simple doesn't mean people with mental challenges. It means those who are spiritually handicapped. And lacking sense doesn't just mean people who don't know which side of a map is up. It means those who cannot find their way through life on their own. The simple are those who are immature in their faith, those who are pliable, gullible, naive, impressionable, easily led astray or deceived, and I'm sure you could add many other terms as well. And I can't help but hear, when that list is mentioned, that this means me. How often have we lacked sense or been simple in that way? Well, with every sinful thought, word, and deed to start with. With every craving for the things of this world, with every longing for the delight of the eyes, with every flirtation with temptation, with every attempt that we've made to hide, to deny, to pretend, or to justify ourselves. That's the simple, and those who lack judgment, which means that this feast is for me, and this feast is for you, and that we are desperately in need of it. And what a feast it is. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. When you read a number in the scriptures, pay attention. Don't just gloss over it or skim by it, but consider what it means. A house of seven pillars. Well, seven brings us all the way back to the creation, made in 6 days and then finished on the seventh day of rest. A work that is finished and completed. A feast that is full and provides all that is needed. Or you might consider the seven that's tied to the Holy Spirit. In the book of Isaiah, the Spirit is described as sevenfold, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is built on those sevens, the finished and completed creation, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and the fear of the Lord. Wisdom, we're told, has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has even sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, turn in here. To the one who lacks sense, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Wisdom's call is not hidden. The word of our Lord Jesus Christ is not hard to find. The proclamation of his word happens in churches throughout the world and by Christians in their daily life in so many different places. It's not a secret thing. It's not a mystery. And wisdom has made a feast of rich food and of good drink, a feast of bread and wine. Again, just think of all the times in Scripture when bread and wine is mentioned over and over and over again until the night when our Lord was betrayed and he took bread and he took the cup with the wine and he gave thanks and he gave it saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." Wisdom sustains and nourishes. Wisdom gives life. Wisdom provides insight to walk in the way and to follow the Lord. And wisdom here serves itself up to you. In our gospel reading, Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I'll give for the life of the world is my flesh." You heard in the gospel reading how many people found that to be a hard saying. They had followed Jesus for a while, but when it came to eating his flesh, they'd had enough, and they stopped following him. And Jesus turns to his disciples. He asks if they also want to leave. "Will you go away as well?" And Simon Peter says in such beautiful words, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the banquet that we need. We believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And Peter and the other disciples were willing to stick with the Holy One of God, not without their falling down and being pulled up again from time to time, but they were willing to stick with the Holy One of God, with the one who has the words of eternal life, all the way to their suffering and death as well. To martyrdom, knowing that martyred for Christ, they were dying for the one who is life in himself, life itself, and so they would live as well. And so we are brought to a feast of more than earthly food. We are reminded again today that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so what will you do with it? Will you be not only hearers of the word, but also doers of it? Will you be not only those who've received the invitation to the feast, but those who come and feast? Will you heartily eat, devour what wisdom gives? Will you drink deeply of what wisdom offers? Will you come and receive the gift that Christ has? And will you also, along with that, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the very word of God, not only today, but each and every day, returning again to that feast in the way that you go back to breakfast, lunch, and dinner day after day after day, you also need this spiritual nourishment. And he provides it for you. Some do reject Jesus. Some do turn away. Proverbs mentions the mocker who rejects and belittles and insults. The mocker who rejects every attempt at constructive criticism and invitation. Now, I do want to warn you, it's dangerous for us to identify any person to whom we're talking as a mocker. You don't know. You don't know that the person you're talking to will turn away again, or if this time the Holy Spirit will penetrate and call them to faith. So don't give up speaking about Jesus, but also don't be surprised at rejection. But the wise man, the one who feasts at this banquet, receives the invitation, and he stands open to correction from God's word. And I would encourage you in this way, as you read the scriptures at home, as you hear them here at church, be open to the correction that the scriptures give, to the way they reprove and rebuke and correct and train in righteousness, because that's what they are given for. And pray that the Holy Spirit would soften your heart, would open your ears, and would enlighten your minds now and always, that you may love that reproof and that correction and that training in righteousness that we receive. Perhaps you can remember on a human level at some point in your life when someone gave you, in a gentle but firm fashion, correction that you needed. When they guided you in a way for which you were so thankful afterwards. This is what wisdom does for us spiritually. And then it gives this promise: by me, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. Does this mean that we are guaranteed a long life as we read God's word and receive the Holy Sacrament? No, not necessarily. It doesn't mean that we'll have a life without affliction or without struggle, or that every Christian will die of old age. Know this: if you go through afflictions and struggles, even those are at times ways in which wisdom is refining you and teaching you and drawing you back to Christ. But of course, when it comes to days being multiplied and years being added to life, what could be longer? What could be more multiplied than life that is eternal? It is a life beyond number, and that is the life that we have with Christ. That is the life that he has promised to all who eat his flesh and who drink his blood. He has said that they will live forever. And so, yes, indeed, years, eternity, will be multiplied and added to your life through this feast. And so come, dear friend, answer the invitation. Respond to wisdom as she calls you to her house and feeds you with this wonderful banquet. And remember this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, is insight. And walk in his ways. In Jesus' name, amen.